This is but one of a thousand true crimes.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Thousand True Crimes. This is Chelsea, and of course, I am here with my lovely co-host, Joe.
Hey, everyone.
How you doing, girl?
Good. I'm hanging in there. It's a Wednesday, if there ever was a Wednesday.
I mean, you can't, like, it's such first world problems, but, like, losing your AC in your car, that's miserable. Ugh. I've been there before, and it is, like,
so
yeah.
Hot.
No.
It's so
no, thank
hot.
You.
But
it's, I don't know. I don't know how people did it back in the day.
They didn't go anywhere. They just stayed at home fanning themselves while all of the poor people worked in their fields. I shouldn't even say poor people. All the slaves just worked in their fields, dying.
Well, I'm talking about like even in like the 60s and 70s. Like, not all cars had AC. Like,
yeah, I got nothing for you. I mean, okay, we know that like it is getting hotter because global warming is real. So we know that. And
that is true.
Like, I feel like every summer it's like new record highs. So maybe it just wasn't as hot back then.
I don't know. It's North Carolina. The humidity is like part of the like lifestyle here.
It's not a joke.
It is not a joke. I was so excited because I thought this whole week was supposed to rain and it's been sunny and I'm like, God dang it.
What is the weather like down there? This week it's been like gorgeous. Okay, so let me change that back. Monday it was like 101 degrees. Tuesday it poured down rain. And then for the rest of the week, it's not even going to get over 85. It's like beautiful.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, once like summer hits, I don't even look at the weather because I'm like, if it rains, it's not like freezing cold. So like I can still
wear
shorts.
It's hot and sticky.
Like I don't start looking at the weather until like October.
It's much more pertinent then.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of, layering it up. But well, there you go. So anyways, now that we talked about the weather.
You know you're old when.
Yeah. Yeah. What you drinking over there?
So I am trying the Prophecy Chardonnay. The Prophecy Cab Sav is like my favorite. But I'm trying the Chardonnay and it's pretty good if you like a more buttery Chardonnay. It's definitely
I hate Chardonnay.
Yeah, I know you're not a fan. I was drinking a Vizzy earlier though.
Shout out to Vizzy, man.
I know
those things.
This bitch got me hooked.
They're hard seltzer for who? Okay, so rewind. Whoever doesn't know what a Vizzy is, it's a hard seltzer, but they have antioxidants in it. So it's healthy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
They have hard seltzers and hard seltzer lemonades.
Lemonade, which is like, they're both really good. I like the lemonade a little bit more, but they're both really good. Anyways, if I drink like three of those and then drink wine, I get like fucked up.
It's the antioxidants, I'm telling you.
I'm like, I had three hard seltzers and like a few glasses of wine. Like, why do I feel like I've been doing keg stands all day? I don't understand.
Why is everything double? I don't get it.
I don't understand. They're so good.
No, they are. You've got me hooked. It's like I always, whenever I like go to top up on like my alcohol supply, I'm always like, yeah, I need to get a case of Izzy's and then other stuff.
The problem is that it catches up with you.
Real
quick.
So
I drink like four or five of them and then I'm like,
whoa.
On a Monday night, I'm like messed up and it's just like, I can't have them. Like that is a weekend drink. I don't know what it is. It has to be the antioxidants. That's what I'm going with. Yeah. Or I'm just getting that old. But that's not a case because
shut
like
your mouth.
Even I can drink a freaking box wine in
a
one
night.
So like I don't understand.
We have a problem, Chels.
No, we're just, you know, everyone has their talents.
Yeah. That's right.
And ours is drinking box wine.
We can do it real great.
It's fine.
Real great. Oh, God. At least we're not that bad solo. We're only that bad together.
Yes. That is very true. Very true. So, all right.
Who are we talking about this week?
Okay, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, please don't let it be someone as horrible as Jeff Warren. Oh God.
You mean Warren Jeffs?
I mean Warren Jeff Warren. Sorry, all the Jeff Warrens out there.
Listen, when you have like two first names, and you're like, if your last name's a first name too, like it throws me off. So like, don't.
It's muy complicado.
Yeah, it's a lot to digest. Okay. So today, we are talking about Nanine Grimes.
Nanine Grimes. Okay.
Yeah, it's N-A-N-I-N-E. Okay. Nanine.
Oh, she popped right up.
That's how you'd say it, right? I just listened to that episode too.
Yeah, Nanine, yeah.
Nanine. It's just like a weird
name. Oh, she's so pretty. Oh, no.
Yeah. So Nanine Grimes was only 15 years old when she would be found brutally murdered.
Oh, my God.
She had been stabbed more... I know. She had been stabbed more than 80 times. Oh, Nanine was the youngest daughter of two, and they lived in Thornton, Colorado.
Okay. Well, there you fucking go, guys. So, get ready.
I know. So the school year had just started, and Nanine was excited for the school year ahead. On September 5th, 1980, she was the only one at home, and she was working on homework. And she was listening to the radio, doing like, you know, what you did when you were, what, 15, yeah. 15 years old? Yeah. When she heard something coming from another room. Her sister, Deanna, came home later that night from her part-time job, and she notices that something is off right away. The front door is open, there's a mess in the living room, and music is just blaring from the stereo. As Nanine's sister walks down the hallway, she sees there is blood on the walls, and she knows something is not right. Deanna actually walks into her bedroom, and that is when she discovers Nanine's bloody body. Ugh. Yeah. Also, I forgot to mention that I watched, it's an episode on Unusual Suspects.
Okay.
On ID. Mm-hmm. And when I try to Google information about her, there's not a lot on the internet. A lot of it's like, there's a couple podcasts that have covered it, and there's a couple like episodes on other, like, I think there's still ID channels, but different like series.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the information was like the same that I could find.
I bet it's because she was a minor.
Yeah, probably that. And it was 1980. So I feel like to me, I feel like 1980 is like 20 years ago. And like the 1990 was like 10 years ago. And the 2000s was like 5 years ago.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like the fact that it's not that way blows my mind.
No. We're so old.
So I feel like sometimes, like, unless it's like a notorious crime, it's like really hard to find that information. Like, it's just not put up there.
True.
So in the episode, because we will be going through a few suspects, they did make mention that like some names have been changed. So I don't know if like certain names are the actual names of the person or if they're like made to cover the identity of people.
Yeah.
So I'm going with the names that ID used.
Okay.
So, just FYI, I meant to say that in the first part, but my train of thought, you know. Okay. So, officers arrive quickly on the scene, and Sheriff Douglas Starr is one of the first officers to arrive, and he sees that Nanine's body was laying on her sister's waterbed, and the bed had actually been punctured, and there is just blood everywhere. It is literally... like it's a bloodbath. Like it is just blood's on the wall, splatters, hallway, like it's carpet. It's just, and he like in the documentary, in the episode, it's like one of the hardest scenes he's ever seen.
Damn.
So as the cops are investigating the crime scene, Nanine's mother, Gwen, arrives home. And that is when she finds out about her death from her other daughter, Deanna. As the police study the crime scene, they find out that Nanine had many defensive wounds on her hands, and she had been pretty much led down the hallway while being stabbed.
Oh.
Some of the stab wounds had been like thrown through, and the attacker would have killed her with just a few of the stab wounds that he did, but he went into overkill. Mm-hmm. She had been stabbed approximately 86 times. Now, there is no sign of sexual assault, but the attacker or attackers had taken a handkerchief and laid it over the top of her wounds. It also appears that the attacker had tried to wash the blood off of his body and hands. In the bathroom, there's a lot of blood in and on the sink and on the bathroom floor. They were also able to find a partial latent fingerprint on the hot water faucet of the sink.
Okay, that's
good. In the backyard, as the attacker fled the scene, he had actually tried to, like, wash his hands, like, for one last time, but actually left fresh blood splatter on the garden hose and all in the backyard, too.
Oh, my God. Chills.
I know.
She's a baby.
Happy Wednesday, y'all. All
right. My car issues suddenly feel...
I know. Whenever we, like, bitch about things, we're like, I guess that could be worse.
Yeah. Way fucking worse. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor thing. Her poor sister, her poor mom, her poor dad, like, poor fucking, like, just being, like, the sister and walking in and finding your sister that way, and then being the one to tell your mom.
Oh, I know. And also, like, probably the amount of guilt the sister felt, like, maybe if I'd been home, like, 20 minutes earlier.
Yep. No, she's for sure going to have those feelings. She shouldn't, but she's for sure going to have those feelings.
So now the detectives, they're going door to door asking the neighbors if they've heard anything, if they saw anything suspicious. But of course, no one reports seeing or hearing anything out of the ordinary. This makes the detectives believe that it was someone she knew, because Nanine was quiet, she didn't have any enemies. But she wouldn't have just opened the door and let somebody in that she didn't know.
Right.
As the police are questioning the family, Deanna believes that their mom's boyfriend, Jansen Holton. I stopped and spelled it. Sorry. Jansen Holton could have done it.
Oh.
So the girls, they didn't really like their mom's boyfriend very much. He had a drinking problem and a bit of a temper as well. And when Nanine's parents divorced, she wanted to have that, like, wholesome family.
Okay.
She wanted the Sundays at church with the family, that picture-perfect life. Mm-hmm. And Holton was anything but. Deanna tells us that one time he bought their mother a necklace that said bitch on it.
What?
And, like, that just caused the girls to, like, hate him even more.
Like, that's a weird gift to give.
Yeah. That's, like, something that, like, a 16-year-old buys, trying to think that they're cool.
Right, that's a neg.
Or like a 12-year-old, actually.
For themselves, right? Not for someone else.
Yeah.
Or maybe a girlfriend. Yeah. That could be funny. But, like, I don't like
Joe,
that.
Joe, if you ever buy me a necklace that says bitch on it, like, I'm not wearing that.
Listen, I hope you've known me long enough to know I have better taste than that.
Okay. First of all, I do, but...
But second of all, when I was 12, I might have bought you one because I would have thought it was funny.
See, here's the difference between you and I. I would have bought you a best friend necklace. The one that says, like, best, and the other one says friends, and you walk around with it.
I would have worn that one. You wouldn't have worn mine. I would have worn that one.
My dad would literally burn it.
Yeah, no, it's not. It wouldn't even be, like, a real gift. Like, this is that to me feels like a controlling asshole. Sorry. Who's, like, low-key negging her.
I don't know what I would do if I received that as a gift.
Leave that man.
Well, okay. Yeah, duh. But I just, like, I'm just imagining my face in that situation if I open that up. Like, I'd be like, seriously?
Is this one for me?
What to do in this? Is this for your side chick? Because maybe.
I don't.
I don't know.
Well, I don't blame her daughters for not liking him. I wouldn't like him either.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So Holton becomes the prime suspect, and is brought in for questioning. He's extremely defensive when they're questioning him, but he does admit to having like a drinking problem, but he is working on it. And he does claim, he does say multiple times he would never hurt the girls. When the detectives ask him where he was the night of the murder, he tells them that he was with Nanine's mother.
Okay. Easy, should be easy to check out.
Yep. Gwen does confirm that they were together having dinner with his parents. Oh. Now, he wasn't with her the whole time, but it is confirmed that he was with his parents the whole night. Oh. So now they're back to square one. And there was, like, no physical evidence on his body because, like, remember how she had so much defensive wounds?
Yeah,
so
he had scratches or bruises or something.
And the attacker cut himself really, really bad.
Okay, okay.
And we'll get into that a little bit more. So, like, there's no signs of, like, him physically being there. And he has an alibi, so... Now, the whole Adams County community is very upset and concerned about Nanine's murder, and leads are just pouring in.
Yeah.
And one lead is about an individual named Levi Telfort. He had come from Salt Lake City to visit family, and when he showed up to his family's home, he had blood on his clothes.
Ah, okay. All right.
Okay.
You don't just randomly incur blood on your clothing willy-nilly.
No, there's usually a reason. Yeah. There's usually a reason.
Yeah, that's sus.
Levi is a teenage drifter and just so happened to show up the night of Nanine's murder.
Oh.
When his aunt and uncle, who he was visiting, allowed Levi to enter their home. And that is when they saw how bloody and cut up he was. And his aunt actually calls the detectives to report her nephew.
Okay, good for her.
So when the detectives show up, though, at Levi's aunt house, she starts to actually cover for her nephew. She does allow them to come into the house, but there's no sign of Levi. As the detectives are taking a look around, they spot a pile of bloody clothes.
Okay, close enough.
So the detectives do a little bit more looking, yeah. And they actually find him half naked under his aunt's dining room table.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What?
Like, you couldn't hide in a closet?
This is not right? Funny. This is not a funny situation. But picturing the scene... She must have had a tablecloth over the table.
She did. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you would think. I just, like, sometimes I would sit there as, like, a detective. I would literally be like, dude, what the fuck are you
what
doing?
What the fuck are you doing? Like,
there's so many better hiding places. Why are you half naked?
Did you not change clothes? Why do you not have clothes on?
Did they not go out and buy you more clothes? Because that's what I would
have
done.
And honestly, they have the evidence on the floor. We already found that. Thank you for showing us where all of your wounds are.
Hmm. Yeah. So great. This is awesome.
This is very strange.
Okay. So they take him in, obviously. And Levi is cooperative. And when they take him down to the police station, they start to question him a little bit more.
Okay.
So even though he is working with the police, he isn't being 100% truthful. When questioned if he had ever been arrested, he says no. But that's a lie because he has a criminal record.
Like, they aren't going to check.
There's certain things you can lie about, and there's, like, certain things you can't lie about, and, like, your criminal record is, like, one of them.
I have to remember this is the same dude that was hiding half naked under his aunt's dining room table like a toddler. Okay.
I mean, let's be real, though. Like, teenage boys are really kind of like toddlers.
Yep.
Men are like toddlers till they're like 40. So yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. No offense to the men listening to us.
We probably like you, but you're probably a little bit like a toddler.
And to be fair, I am like a toddler sometimes too. So here you go.
Okay.
Okay. So some of the charges were vandalism, narcotics possession, attempted robbery, and armed hijacking.
Oh.
Yeah. So it goes from, like, not so serious to, like, Damn.
Yeah.
That escalated. What happened
yeah.
in between those?
Yeah.
As I continued to talk to Levi, they noticed that his hands had recent cuts on them. So Levi says that he got the cuts while moving furniture off a truck, and the shirt he is wearing is actually covered in dirt and, like, oil and all that fun stuff, not blood.
Okay.
He is forced to surrender his clothes. Blood work and fingerprints are sent to the lab. And when the lab results come in, it shows that he is not a match to the partial fingerprint that they found, and there is no traces of blood on his clothes. So the kids at Nanine's High School are even calling in with tips, and some believe it might have been a fellow classmate.
Ooh.
So the police are questioning everyone to see if anyone knows something, and they are looking for obvious wounds on someone's hands. So as they are questioning the kids, a linebacker at the high school sticks out. He's wearing, like, one of those exercising gloves, but only on one hand.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Suspicious. And the police make him remove the glove, and when he does, there's nothing.
Oh, okay.
As the weeks go by, Gwen is just thinking of, or like, as the weeks and days go by, Gwen is just thinking of who could have done this and replaying the weeks leading up to Nanine's death. Gwen mentions to the detectives that Bane Schumann had done some repairs on the house a few days before the attack. So Gwen had found his number in a local paper, and when he arrived at the house to fix the dryer that was having issues, he starts to ask some suspicious questions. He was asking Nanine who all lived there and was showing a lot of interest in her. And they end up having a conversation about the Denver Broncos and even offers to give her money so that she can see a game. Mm. He gave her $43 and she did take the money, which, like, someone, you know, that's a lot of money for a teenager in the 80s.
It is. But also, ladies, if a man randomly is offering you cash, I wouldn't take it. Yeah, I wouldn't take it.
No, yeah. Yeah, don't do it. Mm-mm. That's because, Mom!
Yeah. Yeah. Or listen, if you're short, $43, call us. We'll hook you up.
Yeah, seriously. The detectives track him down, and they do a search of his truck, and they don't find anything at first. But as they continue to look, they find a large knife under one of the seats.
Ha-ha!
They send the knife. They send the knife to the lab for evidence. And as the police are interviewing him, he's super calm. And when asked about the knife, he claims that he doesn't even remember it being there. When they check his hands and arms, there are no injuries. Bane also has an alibi. He was at a restaurant with friends for dinner, and a waitress at the restaurant was able to confirm this. The knife comes back from the lab, and it's determined that it wasn't the type of knife that was used in the attack. It also had no traces of blood.
So it's obviously this, like, I don't remember the name you said, but this lady's nephew is half naked under the table.
You will see.
Okay.
6 days after Nanine had been murdered, her funeral was held. The school closed for the day, and all of her friends, family, and a lot of the kids from the school showed up. So the detectives were at the funeral as well and taking pictures of everyone in the crowd in case the killer was there. Which is actually a very common thing for
murder victims.
One person does catch their eye, and that is Dominic Marwood.
Okay.
I also want to say that, like, whoever comes up with these names to, like, cover the true identity of people are very creative.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like John Smith, John Doe.
John Brown.
Yeah. Like, it'd be all Johns. I'd be like, I don't know. That's a pretty common name, I feel like. So Dominic composed a song for Nanine and sang it at the funeral. And it left the detectives with, like, an uneasy feeling.
Okay.
Which, like, I would too.
Yeah.
So he was a teenager who played in a Christian rock band and would play his guitar while Nanine read the Bible. He even would tutor her, and, well, he was like a tutor figure. Like, they would talk, and, like, because he was a little bit older, and they would write poems together. But he wanted something more from her, and she was not about it.
What's his name again?
So, Dominic Marwood.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I deeded. And I did try to search a lot of these names, and I wasn't coming up with things.
Yeah, okay.
So, after he was done with his song at our funeral, he went off to the side and cried to the point that he had to be physically removed. Like, he had this, like, big emotional breakdown.
Mm.
Do you know, like, what all of a sudden popped in my head?
What?
That guy from Liberty.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you talking about...
Like, when they said the Christian rock band, like, for some reason, it just, like, popped in my head. That... And I was like, I feel like this is something he would do.
Oh, God, that memory was so beautifully purged. And you just had to bring it right on up. Oh, it's dark time in You're my history, welcome. Friends. Dark time.
You're very welcome.
Hey, he had a cool car.
Okay, your standards were real high freshman year.
Oh god Anyways
okay, anyways, so a few days go by after the funeral and the detectives interview him, and he's a completely different person. He was no longer expressing the same types of feelings or grief as he was before and at the funeral, and that made everyone suspicious. But there's no physical evidence of him committing the crime, and his fingerprints do not match the one that they found.
See, that's what I was, like, thinking when they were like, his persona totally changed. I mean, to me, it just seems like he's probably just an attention seeker. And, like, they're probably, it was probably all, I hate to, I don't know. People grieve in different ways. Maybe he had compartmentalized.
Yeah, but I do think there is that thing where it's like, give me that attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he played a song at her funeral. So. Like, I said, what, 100 words, and I was, like, shaking and crying the whole, well, okay, to be fair, that was my spouse, so it's a little different.
Yeah, that's a very different situation.
Yeah,
and different. Also a different.
Death, yeah.
Death.
Yeah.
So, like, but. I don't know. If Joe, if I die before you and someone tries to sing a song that they made for a minute, you need to, like, not let it happen.
Are you fucking kidding me? Hell fucking no. Hell fucking no.
Because I will literally come back, raise my coffin, and be like, you need to stop. Like, I'm embarrassed for you. Don't.
You know who's allowed to play a song at your funeral? God forbid, your son. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. Unless I gave birth to you, do not sing to me.
No.
Thank you.
God, no.
TED Talk over. So, anyways, the police start to reach out to other police departments and federal in the state to make sure that there wasn't, like, this wasn't the work of a serial killer. Okay. Like, they want to compare.
Yeah, okay.
Because you have to remember, this is the 80s. So there's no, like, there's no database to compare different crimes.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that's even, I know it's gotten much better, but I don't know how much to the point in 2021. Like, I feel like there's a lot of criminals that commit crimes in between states. And I'm like, isn't there just something they can put in? But, so 8 months before Nanine was murdered, 14-year-old Kathy Boyer was stabbed multiple times about a mile away from where Nanine lived.
A mile?
There's also no sexual assault.
Damn.
But there's, like, this leads to no clues. Like, it's kind of like a dead end. Like that case didn't have any clues. This case doesn't have any
clues.
It's,
like, great information, but not super helpful.
They're like, could it be related? Could it not be related? We really don't know.
Yeah.
So 10 years after Nanine was murdered, officers get a visit from 28-year-old Army vet who says that he knows something. The man, Samuel Dino Salas, went to Thornton High School with Nanine. He admits to killing Kathy Boyer. He said that he stabbed her because he wanted to know what it feels like to stab a girl.
That's some fucking, like, white man shit. What the fuck is wrong with people?
That is just, like, you know that saying? I forgot. I don't know who said it, and I could probably Google it. Is that men are afraid of girls laughing at them, but women, men are afraid of women laughing at them, and women are afraid of
men killing them. Yeah.
Killing them. Yeah. Like, this is what it literally
is. This is it, motherfuckers, because, like, women do not sit around thinking, you know, wonder what it'd be like to stab a boy. I mean, there probably are a couple.
There are a couple cases, but not to the point that you have to be like, it's very rare. I feel like, whereas, like, majority of the time, it's like women are like, I'm going to kill my husband because he keeps leaving his fucking dishes everywhere.
Yeah, that's more likely to get you killed by a woman. Not some random dude just being like, oh, I'm curious what it's like to stab a girl.
Little girl.
Fuck off, dude.
Are you ready to be even more mad?
Nope, but I'm sure I will be. Here we go.
He takes a plea bargain and gets a 20-year sentence.
That's the value of her life.
But he claims he had nothing to do with Nadine's murder.
20 fucking years. For stabbing a woman to death. For stabbing a girl to death. 20 years? Mm-hmm. Fuck that.
She was 14.
Fuck the judge.
14.
Fuck the attorneys. Fuck the guy. Fuck all of those motherfuckers. That's some fucking bullshit. I'm pissed. I'm pissed. Let me bump into him. What's his name? What's his name again?
I mean, Samuel Dino Salas.
Okay. I got him.
Okay. Now, since they did find DNA at the crime scene, because remember the attacker had cut his hand so much.
Right. Yeah.
That he was just, like, bleeding everywhere.
Right, yeah.
Because Nadine was like, you're going to have to fucking work to kill me.
Yeah. Yeah, like a fucking
at the crime scene,
ass bitch.
It is becoming it's essentially becoming a matter of time before the attacker is found.
Right.
Finally, in 2005, 25 years.
Are you kidding
after
me?
After Nadine had been murdered.
Oh.
They run the DNA samples one more time, and they finally get a match.
I'm incensed.
The blood belongs to 41-year-old Troy Brownlow.
Fuck him.
He had recently given a DNA sample when he was released from an Arizona prison on theft charges. When he killed Nadine, he was only 17 years old. They call Deanna, her sister, and ask if they knew him. And they have all known him. Like, the family has known him since Deanna was 8 years old.
Ah!
They rode the bus together. They had the same teacher every year. After high school, he kind of just stayed under the radar. He was a fitness instructor in Arizona. He had a fiance and was about to be a father to a baby girl. He was even an ex-YMCA youth director.
Fuck this dude. May he fucking rot.
On April 14th, 2005, he is arrested and charged with the first-degree murder of Nadine. When they bring him in, he knows that he's about, like, what it's about. Like, he knows. And says that he should have taken care of this 25 years ago. Like it's some fucking parking ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I had a thing that I had to deal with.
You know what I should have done? I should have taken care of getting my car registered.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The beginning of June,
exactly.
Instead of waiting to the
That's
last possible
second.
That's
some shit that you should have gotten taken care of. Not yeah. The murder that you committed when you were
Not
17
murdering
years old.
A child.
God damn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
On his hands are the scars from the night of the attack.
Yes, that bitch left scars on him.
Oh, yeah, like, it was so severe that it left scars.
Ugh, I'm so angry, Chelsea.
I know. He is extradited to Colorado, and he's in the county jail until his trial. So while he's in jail, he brags to his cellmate about killing Nadine and says that he just has to explain why his blood was in her house. So he invents a story and rehearses it to his cellmate, who so happens to be a jailhouse snitch, who works with the detectives that were on the case.
Hell yeah. Like this guy. Probably so not. He Brownlow probably did something wrong, but right now I like him.
Yeah. I'm sure he has his sins. Brownlow was going to say that there was a third-party killer at the house and he tried to defend her but got stabbed in the process.
No.
Which nice try. Makes no sense because why wouldn't he call the cops?
Or tell anybody in his life, his wife and child.
I mean, like, or did you just go home and be like, oh, I tried.
I did my best.
My bad.
I
did Sorry. My best.
I guess she's just dead now. I don't know.
I mean, girl, you figure it out. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, fucking I hate this
so,
guy.
So stupid. So stupid.
At least he's an idiot.
Detectives are able to put together the timeline of the night due to him just blabbing and talking to his cellmate.
Yes!
So Nadine was home alone doing her homework and listening to the stereo when Brownlow shows up. Now, he doesn't really know Nadine. Like, she knows him through her sister.
Yeah.
And he is more acquainted with her sister, Deanna.
Okay.
Detectives believe he was there for Deanna, but since she was at work, he decided to go after Nadine. So Nadine had knife wounds on her side, and it shows that she was being forced down the hallway by knife point until she got to her sister's room, where she fought like hell.
Yeah, she did.
So Brownlow is a sexual sadist, and a lot of the wounds were very serious sexual wounds. There wasn't signs of, like, sexual assault, like rape or anything like that. But the wounds were sexual. Yeah. Like, sexual attack. From my understanding, it's like a sexual attack, too. Yeah.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. He pretty much kept stabbing her until he was tired.
Yeah, 80-some-odd times?
86 times.
Goddamn. And this bitch fought. Listen, I love this chick. I love her. Mm-hmm.
After he was finished, he placed the handkerchief over her chest and started to wash off the blood in the bathroom. He had serious cuts on his hands and was just dripping blood evidence everywhere in the house. Outside in the backyard, he continued to try to wash his wounds and even left a stain of blood on the fence, and it was on their concrete for years.
Oh, no, Chelsea. No.
Oh, I know. I would rip that shit up so quick.
Tear it up.
I'd be like, take it as evidence. I'm out. I'm done. Thank you so much.
I can't.
So no one, though, noticed the wounds on his hands at school the next day because he kind of just, like, blended in. Like, he was a
nobody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he even was the one to give the benediction at his high school graduation. Do you know what that is? Yeah. The benediction's, like, the religious part, right?
I think so, right?
Yeah. Let's look it up.
I'm going to Google it. Let me Google it.
Okay.
A benediction is the utterance or bestowing of a blessing, especially at the end of a religious service. May this guy fucking rot. I hope that Satan is having a blast with him. A blast.
So June of 2005 is a trial of Nadine, and within a week he is found guilty. He is sentenced to 20 years to life.
Okay.
And at age 62, he will be eligible for parole.
That bitch ain't going nowhere. That bitch ain't going nowhere.
That is the case of Nadine Grimes.
So, Nadine is a rock star.
Oh my God, I know.
And it breaks my heart that she didn't get to grow up because I feel like she would have done some great shit in her life because she's a fucking badass.
She was beautiful. She was absolutely gorgeous. Oh, gorgeous. She was sweet. She was, yeah.
And a fucking fighter.
Yeah. And well, I do want to say, like, every girl is beautiful, too, though. Like,
yeah, of course. You know, of course. I know. What?
But I know, like, it's so annoying when people are like, she was beautiful. She was beautiful. Like, that's, like, a you know, personality defining.
Right. No, thing. I was going to say, when will we ever have a girl on here that we're not like, she was so beautiful.
She was beautiful.
Until they're the murderer.
It's just upsetting.
And this guy is a piece of shit, and I hope that he is getting hell in prison for it.
Yep. And, you know, DNA, man. It's come a long way.
Thank fucking God for DNA. Can we just, like, thank fucking God. All I can say is, like, when he dies in prison, because I know he will, I hope that he rots in hell.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope I made your Wednesday better.
I should have fucking taken care of this 25 years ago.
Oh, I know.
Fuck off, dude. Fuck off. I hope you never see your child ever again. Yeah. Or children. I don't know. Maybe you had more, but I hope you never see any of them ever.
I mean, I just saw one, so, and I don't know.
Hell fucking no.
But, and there's not a lot of, like I said, there's not like a ton of information. I believe there's like one or two podcasts that have done it, and I didn't listen to theirs. And then there's like just a couple of other episodes. It's not like this huge.
Yeah, it's not like, super famous.
Which you, like nowadays, it would be like all over.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, a dead teenager girl is a dime a fucking dozen. Sorry, my feminazi is coming out. Nobody fucking cares about women.
Yeah, seriously. Well, before we get too crazy for another podcast, what's your weekly win?
Oh, you know what? I think that my weekly win this week, if I'm just going to be like super real with the fam and super real with what's going on, is I have been telling, or I've been saying to people, I've kind of felt like at a one or a two. And this week is the first time that I felt at like a three or a four. And
okay,
something about that feels really awesome.
Well, yes. It's never going to get easy. I mean, I don't know, because I've never been in that situation.
Well, it's like what you said. I'll never stop missing him.
Mm-hmm.
But you just learn how to cope.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really
good. And it's
okay.
It's, and you should miss him. And it's
part of it. It's just part of it.
It'll get to the point, like your friend Allison said, it will get to the point where you can, like, smile at the memory and not cry.
Exactly. That that's like what is set in is the times
that's
when...
a 10. When you can do that, you're at a 10.
That's a 10? I'm at a 10.
I don't know. I feel like that would be a 10.
We had it was so
that you can smile and laugh and talk about it and not cry.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a 10.
It was Father's Day on Sunday, and I just had, like, several moments where I just, like, remembered how much he loved our kids. And to be fair, I did cry. But it wasn't, like, crying, like, the heartbreak, my heart is being ripped out of my chest kind of a cry. It was more like a, I can't wait till you see them when they cross over. And I can't wait to see all of you over there when I cross over. And... It was a different kind of cry.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
What about you?
That's awesome.
What's your weekly win? That it was your birthday.
Oh yeah. Let's just do that. My life is nothing but pasta sauce on my shirt and throw up in my hair.
I mean, how about cute firemen telling you that you're a great mom?
What?
How about cute firemen telling you you're a great mom?
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you.
I love firefighters. All of you listeners out there don't know. I love firefighters. So, like.
Oh, okay. There you go. Let's go. Yeah, it was my birthday. I'm another year older. Not wiser.
But definitely another year more gorgeous.
Okay. As my grays were, like, about to pop the fuck out. So. But I, you know, I do remind myself that there are not everyone
gets
makes it
to go to their next birthday. I know.
To the next birthday. So you have to be, it's good to get older. It's okay. Like, we should embrace that shit.
Yeah. Amen, girl. Amen.
So, yeah.
You did it.
All right. Well. Well, we hope you all come back next week.
Yeah.
Or
one of these days, I'm going to do an episode, I swear.
Well, you kind of have something going on.
Got some time.
You're good. Just enjoy those visies, and I'll tell you some stories.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
All right, fam. All right, well, guys. If you guys want to keep up to date with everything, you can find us on our Facebook page, which is a 1000 True Crimes Podcast Discussion Group. We're going to be posting some information whenever I get my life together and can actually like do the socials again about our merch giveaway, because we are going to have our very first, nothing has ever been made of our merch. This will be the first one that we're going to be giving away soon. So find us on Facebook, like I said, 1000 True Crimes Podcast Discussion Group, or you can find us on Instagram, 1000 True Crimes Pod, and we'll have all the information there. We also have episode deets, just some fun little, I don't know, bullshit social media shit. But yeah, come find us and follow us. And if you have recommendations about episodes that we should cover, shoot us a message. And I think that's it. All the social stuff.
That's it. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye, fam.
Bye.